Caitlin Taylor's Graves has become an underground sensation among readers seeking the darkest edges of romantic fiction. This unflinchingly brutal tale of obsession, trauma, and unconventional love has developed a cult following on BookTok, where readers share their shocked reactions to its most disturbing scenes. Taylor, who began as a self-published author before gaining recognition for her psychologically complex characters, crafts a story that deliberately pushes boundaries while exploring how trauma shapes human connection. With over 1 million copies sold through word-of-mouth recommendations alone, Graves has become the measuring stick for how far dark romance can go while still maintaining emotional resonance. As one celebrity fan noted, "It's like watching a beautiful car crash in slow motion. You know you should look away, but you simply can't." Zayden Graves is bleeding out in an alley when he first glimpses his angel, a woman with nearly white hair walking obliviously past his dying body. This fleeting encounter becomes an obsession that consumes him. After recovering from his near-fatal wounds, Zayden stalks Blake for months, breaking into her apartment while she sleeps, watching her every move, even kissing her unconscious lips without her knowledge. His predatory behavior is chilling in its intensity. He doesn't just want Blake, he believes she belongs to him by some twisted cosmic design. The story opens with this disturbing dynamic already in place. Zayden's internal monologue reveals a mind that processes love as possession. He doesn't see his behavior as stalking, but as protection, not as violation, but as devotion. When circumstances force him to leave Blake's apartment one night, he's genuinely anguished at having to abandon his angel, showing no awareness of how profoundly disturbing his behavior is. Blake, meanwhile, lives her life unaware of her stalker, though she occasionally wakes with strange sensations that something in her apartment feels off. A bartender at a rundown establishment called Hooked and Sinker, she's built a quiet life in Seattle after escaping a relationship in Chicago. Her heterochromatic eyes, one brown, one blue, have always made her feel like an outsider, labeled a freak throughout her childhood. This physical manifestation of being different becomes symbolic of her inability to fit into normal society, foreshadowing how she'll eventually find belonging with men who are equally outside conventional morality. When Zayden is arrested for brutally attacking a man who was following Blake after her shift, his obsession doesn't wane. Instead, he enlists his identical twin brother Dominic to watch over Blake in his absence. The brothers' relationship is complex. They share everything, yet harbor deep resentments and competitive streaks that will eventually center on Blake herself. When Zayden is arrested for brutally attacking a man who was following Blake after her shift, his obsession doesn't wane. Instead, he enlists his identical twin brother Dominic to watch over Blake in his absence. The brothers' relationship is complex. They share everything, yet harbor deep resentments and competitive streaks that will eventually center on Blake herself. Dominic initially approaches Blake with the intention of merely watching over her as Zayden requested, positioning himself as a silent guardian in the shadows of her world. However, he finds himself drawn to her in ways he never anticipated, his professional detachment crumbling against the magnetic pull of her presence. Unlike his brother's predatory stalking, which was marked by aggressive pursuit and violation of boundaries, Dominic's approach is more conventionally seductive. He sits in her bar night after night, barely touching his drink, watching her with an intensity that should frighten her, but instead makes her feel strangely protected. His steady gaze follows her movements across the dim space, noting every subtle shift in her expression, every forced smile at unwanted attention from customers. When a particularly aggressive customer sexually harasses Blake, grabbing her arm and making explicit threats, Dominic's response is swift and brutal. He beats the man so severely he causes permanent neurological damage, revealing the violence simmering beneath his more controlled exterior. The precision of his violence, calculated yet passionate, demonstrates both his training and his growing emotional investment in Blake's safety. This display of protective violence creates a connection between them that quickly becomes sexual and romantic, their shared understanding of darkness drawing them together like moths to a flame. What makes this narrative particularly unsettling is how Taylor portrays Blake's attraction to both men with unflinching psychological depth. Rather than being repelled by their violent tendencies, she finds herself drawn to them, recognizing in their darkness something that mirrors her own. The story suggests that her own traumatic past, which we later learn involved years of sexual abuse by her foster father and his friends, starting when she was just 14, has created a psychological framework where protection and violence are intertwined, where being desired so intensely feels like salvation rather than threat. Her responses to both brothers reflect this complex conditioning, as she simultaneously seeks and fears the intensity of their attention. The psychological complexity deepens when Blake discovers that Dominic and Zayden are identical twins, a revelation that shatters her understanding of both men. After Zayden returns from prison, the boundaries between the brothers blur in increasingly disturbing ways. Their identical appearances create a hall of mirrors effect, where identity becomes fluid and dangerous. Zayden initially impersonates Dominic to sexually assault Blake, but rather than being portrayed as straightforward victimization, the narrative frames this as part of a complex dance of power, desire, and belonging that all three characters are engaged in. Their interactions become a twisted exploration of identity, desire, and the ways trauma shapes our understanding of love and protection. The twins represent different aspects of the same darkness, Dominic's controlled violence and Zayden's raw brutality, both of which speak to something deep and broken in Blake's psyche. The heart of Graves lies in its exploration of how trauma shapes human connection. All three main characters have survived horrific childhoods that have warped their understanding of love, safety, and intimacy. As their stories unfold, we learn that Dominic and Zayden witnessed their uncle murder their mother when they were 9 years old, then killed him themselves in retaliation. A mysterious man named Maxim found them at the crime scene, helped them dispose of the body, and offered them a choice: be separated in foster care or stay together and work for him. Their choice to stay together led them into a life of professional killing, trained from childhood by Maxim to become efficient assassins. This shared trauma created an unbreakable bond between them, explaining their inability to function separately despite their competitive nature. Blake's trauma is equally severe. Orphaned at 6 after her father killed her mother and himself in a jealous rage, she spent years in foster care where she was systematically abused. Her foster father and his friends subjected her to nightly assaults in the basement while his wife slept upstairs, oblivious to her suffering. This pattern continued until she finally ran away at 16. These parallel histories of violence created disturbing symmetry between the characters. When Blake finally reveals her past to the brothers, their response is not conventional comfort, but a promise of vengeance. In one of the book's most disturbing sequences, Zayden tracks down Blake's former abuser and brings her to him, allowing her to participate in his torture and murder. Rather than being portrayed as further trauma, this act of extreme violence is framed as cathartic, a reclaiming of power that allows Blake to process her past abuse. The narrative suggests that conventional healing wasn't possible for these broken individuals. Only by finding others equally damaged could they create a space where their particular forms of love and connection make sense. It's a profoundly uncomfortable proposition, yet Taylor writes these scenes with such psychological intensity that readers find themselves reluctantly understanding, if not endorsing, the characters' choices. As the relationship between Blake and the Graves brothers develops, the story evolves from a tale of obsession into an exploration of polyamory, albeit a deeply dysfunctional version. Initially torn between her feelings for Dominic and her complicated attraction to Zayden, Blake eventually embraces a relationship with both men simultaneously. This transition isn't sudden, but occurs gradually through a series of emotionally charged encounters and confrontations that force all three characters to confront their deepest fears and desires. The arrangement challenges conventional relationship dynamics and societal norms, presenting itself not as a simple solution, but as a complex negotiation of jealousy, possession, and love. Dominic, who initially had Blake to himself, struggles with sharing her with his more volatile brother. His journey from possessive lover to accepting partner reveals deep-seated insecurities about his relationship with Zayden and his own worth. Zayden, whose obsession borders on psychosis, must learn to accept that Blake has feelings for Dominic as well, a process complicated by his history of abandonment and trust issues. Blake must reconcile her desire for both men with her own need for autonomy and agency, while also navigating the brothers' complex dynamic and their violent past. Taylor doesn't shy away from the explicit sexual dynamics of this arrangement, depicting numerous encounters between various combinations of the three characters. These scenes serve not merely as erotic content, but as explorations of power dynamics and vulnerability. Each sexual encounter reveals something about the character's psychological states and their evolving relationship. The power shifts constantly, sometimes violent, sometimes tender, reflecting their emotional struggles and gradual healing. Perhaps most controversially, the narrative presents this three-way relationship as ultimately healing for all involved. Dominic provides Blake with stability and tenderness, while Zayden offers intensity and passion. Together, they create a protective bubble around her that allows her to process her trauma and reclaim her sexuality on her own terms. The brothers' complementary qualities, Dominic's steady reliability and Zayden's fierce protectiveness, create a balanced support system that helps Blake recover from her past trauma. Similarly, Blake's acceptance of both brothers, including their violent tendencies and damaged psyches, gives them a sense of belonging they've never experienced before. The unconventional arrangement also forces all three characters to develop better communication skills and emotional awareness. Through their struggles to maintain balance in their relationship, they learn to express their needs more clearly, set boundaries, and respect each other's limits. The story suggests that healing doesn't always come in traditional packages, and that family can be defined by emotional bonds rather than societal conventions. Throughout Graves, violence functions almost as its own character, a primal force that both destroys and creates, shaping relationships and defining power dynamics between characters. The brothers' professional lives as elite contract killers is never moralized away or softened. They remain unapologetically brutal in their work, viewing death dealing as both art and necessity. This capacity for violence becomes their primary love language, a complex method of expressing devotion, protection, and possession that defies conventional morality. When they uncover the layered history of Blake's abuse, their response is swift and methodical. They transform revenge into a gift, systematically hunting down each man who hurt her. Each kill is meticulously planned and executed, presented to Blake like dark offerings. Photographs of dead abusers, trophies from their kills, video recordings of final moments. In the narrative's most harrowing sequence, they bring her face to face with Marcus Thorne, her primary abuser. The brothers orchestrate an elaborate scenario in an abandoned warehouse, providing Blake with an array of tools and complete control over Thorne's fate. This scene, rendered in unflinching detail across 30 pages, portrays Blake's participation not as a descent into madness, but as an ascent to power, a visceral reclaiming of agency after years of victimization. Blood emerges as a powerful recurring motif throughout the narrative, carrying multiple layers of meaning. Zayden's obsession with Blake's blood manifests in various ways, from his fascination with her menstrual cycle to the careful cuts he inflicts during their intimate encounters. This fixation represents his desire to possess her completely, to know her in ways that transcend normal boundaries. The blood motif extends to ritual and belonging when Blake requests both brothers carve their initials into her skin. This act of permanent marking becomes a sacred ceremony, performed with surgical precision in their private chamber, combining pain, pleasure, and possession in a way that transcends traditional expressions of commitment. The conflation of violence with intimacy reaches its crescendo when Blake eliminates Maxim, the shadowy figure who trained the brothers in their deadly craft and who, in a shocking revelation, was her mother's secret lover and orchestrated the accident that killed her parents. Her decision to end Maxim's life, executed with the same clinical precision she learned from watching the brothers, marks her complete transformation from victim to equal partner in their violent world. This act cements her position within their dark trinity, proving she can both deal and receive death with equal measure. The final act of Graves forces the characters to confront the consequences of their choices. When Maxim kidnaps Blake and takes her to Russia, the brothers must face their past and the man who shaped them into killers. The revelation that Maxim had been watching Blake her entire life, even sending his brother to look after her, which resulted in years of abuse, creates a horrifying connection between all the characters' traumas. In the climactic confrontation, Blake is shot while killing Maxim to save the brothers. Her near-death experience serves as the final trial for this unconventional family unit. The brothers' desperation as they fight to keep her alive reveals the depth of their love, transcending their possessiveness and obsession. The epilogue, set 6 months later, shows the three living in a beach house in San Diego, having left Seattle's painful memories behind. Blake has survived her injuries, but carries a prominent scar on her chest, a physical reminder of how close they came to losing everything. The final scene reveals Blake has removed her IUD and is ovulating, asking which brother will get her pregnant, suggesting their commitment to building a future together. In an extended epilogue, we learn that Blake has married Zayden, though she considers herself married to both brothers, and has given birth to twin boys, a symbolic representation of her equal love for both men. The narrative concludes with the image of this unconventional family unit finding peace and belonging together, suggesting that despite the violence and trauma that brought them together, they've created something beautiful in their own twisted way. What makes Graves particularly challenging is its steadfast refusal to moralize its characters' actions. The brothers remain professional killers throughout, their occupation never presented as something requiring redemption or atonement. Instead, their work is portrayed as a natural extension of who they are, with the narrative treating their violent tendencies as integral to their characters rather than flaws to be overcome. Blake's gradual participation in torture and murder is portrayed as a journey of empowerment and self-discovery rather than moral corruption. The narrative consistently rewards rather than punishes their moral transgressions, ultimately gifting them with love, family, and a sense of belonging. This moral ambiguity permeates deeply into the book's complex treatment of consent and bodily autonomy. Zayden's initial stalking of Blake, including surveillance, manipulation of her daily routines, and strategic chance encounters, is presented as intense devotion rather than predatory behavior. His sexual assault while impersonating his brother creates one of the story's most ethically challenging moments, yet it's never fully addressed or condemned within the narrative framework. Though Blake experiences initial horror and betrayal upon learning the truth, she ultimately processes these violations as manifestations of Zayden's damaged psyche and fierce need for connection, eventually incorporating them into their relationship's foundation. The consent issues extend beyond these early interactions. When both brothers deliberately sabotage her birth control in their desperate desire to create a family, the narrative transforms what would typically be considered reproductive coercion into a complex exploration of belonging and possession. Blake's initial fury at this violation quickly evolves into arousal and acceptance, suggesting that conventional notions of autonomy may not apply within their unique dynamic. These elements combine to create an intensely uncomfortable reading experience, even as the psychological depth and complexity of the characters foster undeniable emotional investment. Taylor isn't seeking readers' moral approval, but rather their understanding of how extreme trauma shapes human behavior and relationships. The book presents a challenging thesis that conventional morality may prove inadequate for those who have experienced severe psychological damage, that healing sometimes requires stepping outside societal norms and accepted boundaries. Through this lens, the characters' actions become less about right versus wrong and more about survival, connection, and the creation of chosen family within the context of shared damage. Graves ultimately succeeds not because it glorifies violence and obsession, but because it explores the human capacity for connection even in the most damaged souls. The brother's devotion to Blake, though expressed through disturbing means, comes from a genuine place of love, manifesting in their willingness to eliminate any threat to her safety, their obsessive attention to her needs, and their fierce protection of her emotional well-being. Blake's acceptance of their darkness reflects her understanding that conventional relationships would never provide the sense of safety and belonging she craves after her traumatic past, particularly given her history of betrayal and abandonment. The narrative suggests that true intimacy requires complete acceptance, not just of someone's virtues, but of their darkest aspects as well. For these characters, that darkness includes violence, possessiveness, and moral flexibility that most would find unacceptable. The brothers' territorial nature, their capacity for brutal violence, and their unwavering belief in their right to claim Blake would be red flags in any normal relationship. Yet within their closed triangle, they find a balance that works, creating their own moral universe where protection justifies almost any action and love transcends conventional boundaries. Their shared trauma becomes a foundation for understanding rather than a barrier to connection. This is perhaps why Graves has found such a devoted readership despite, or perhaps because of, its disturbing content. It offers a fantasy of complete acceptance, where one's darkest impulses are not just tolerated, but embraced and even celebrated. The brothers' unflinching acceptance of Blake's damage, her nightmares, her trust issues, and her own capacity for violence creates a compelling portrait of unconditional love, albeit through a darkened lens. In a world where most people feel pressure to hide their less acceptable thoughts and desires, this fantasy of total acceptance holds powerful appeal even when wrapped in violence and moral ambiguity. The novel's exploration of darkness extends beyond mere physical violence to examine the psychological shadows we all carry. Through Blake's journey from victim to survivor to willing participant in this unconventional relationship, readers confront their own boundaries between right and wrong, love and obsession, protection and possession. The brothers' backstory, their childhood trauma, their time in foster care, their development of a moral code that prioritizes loyalty above all else, provides context for their extreme behaviors while challenging readers to question their own capacity for darkness in the name of love. In the end, Graves transcends its dark romance framework to become a profound meditation on how trauma shapes identity and human connection. The brothers' transformation into killers wasn't simply a choice, but an inevitable outcome of the systematic childhood violence they endured. Beatings, psychological torture, and forced participation in criminal activities that rewired their understanding of survival. Blake's capacity to love such damaged men similarly emerges from her own history of abuse, creating a complex web of shared trauma that binds them together. Their union represents not a healthy ideal, but rather a raw acknowledgement that some people, shaped by extreme circumstances, exist too far outside society's margins for conventional happiness. Within this brokenness, they forge something genuine, a fierce loyalty and protective love that, while expressed through disturbing means, offers them the belonging they've desperately sought. The twins, who were methodically trained to view people as mere targets, undergo a fundamental transformation in their relationship with Blake. They learn to value her life above their own, marking their first real emotional attachment since childhood. Blake's journey is equally transformative. Having been treated as an object for men's pleasure throughout her childhood, she reclaims her sexuality and personal agency through her relationship with men who desire her completely, but also recognize and respect her inherent strength and autonomy. The psychological complexity deepens as the story explores how trauma bonds can both heal and perpetuate damage. The brother's protective instincts, while born from love, often manifest in extreme violence. Blake's acceptance of their darker nature comes not from naivety, but from a deep understanding that traditional morality fails to account for those shaped by extraordinary circumstances. Their relationship challenges conventional therapeutic narratives about healing from trauma, suggesting that sometimes healing looks less like reformation and more like finding others who understand your particular kind of broken. The final image of their unconventional family, Blake with her twin sons, surrounded by both brothers, serves as a powerful statement about the possibility of creating beauty from darkness. It suggests that even monsters can construct meaningful lives if they find others who accept their monstrosity without judgment. This provocative conclusion challenges conventional notions of redemption and morality, forcing readers to grapple with uncomfortable questions. Can authentic love exist outside society norms? Should those who have experienced extreme trauma be judged by the same moral standards as others? Where is the line between understanding trauma responses and excusing violent behavior? In its unflinching exploration of these questions, Graves establishes itself as one of the most controversial yet psychologically nuanced dark romances of recent years. It's a story that disturbs and captivates in equal measure, deliberately blurring the lines between victim and perpetrator, love and obsession, healing and enabling. The narrative leaves readers questioning their own moral boundaries long after the final page, challenging them to consider whether true empathy requires understanding even the most difficult aspects of human nature.